And as you're seated, you can take your Bibles this morning and turn with us to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 this morning. And we will be there momentarily. As you're turning there this morning and finding your place in Philippians chapter 2, there's a poem that I found. As lights twinkle and the carols fill the air, we gather once again to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. But beyond the gifts and the festivities, have we ever stopped to ask, why is he truly worth celebrating? Of course, this first Sunday of December, it's hard to believe that we are now officially into the Christmas season. It seems like we really just had trunk or treat, and then, of course, Thanksgiving, and really, the season does go by very fast, doesn't it? And if we don't take the time to stop and to enjoy it before we know it, a new year will be here. And we'll say, well, where did the time go? But of course, this is the time of year that we pause, we reflect, or at least we should pause and reflect on the reasons. And when we think about the reasons, they're very profound in nature. But the reasons that make this season more than just a holiday. In fact, my pastor always used to say that it should become more than a holiday. And for the Christian, it should become a holy day. And today we begin our Christmas series. And again, if you were here Tuesday night or even last Sunday, I said and Pastor Paremba said this past Tuesday night that it's always difficult to come up with new angles on such familiar stories and familiar accounts because, well, we know them so well. We know what Thanksgiving is about. It's about being thankful. I mean, how often or how differently can you preach that? And then Christmas is about the birth of Christ, and we know that. And Easter time is about the His death, His burial, His resurrection. We know that. And so it's always the time of year that I struggle as far as messages and different things go. But then I thought about the question, well, why is He worth celebrating? Why do we take the time this time of year to celebrate Him? You know, you think about it beyond the traditions, beyond the joy of Christmas, beyond the festivities, beyond the Christmas tree, beyond the lights, and beyond everything else, the family get-togethers and the food and all of the trappings that come along with the holiday and come along with Christmas, there is really a profound and sacred reason to give honor and glory to Him. We think of Him this morning, and we think about discovering why the birth of our Savior is not just a story, but it's a life-changing, it's a world-shaping event that calls us to give Him all the honor and glory that He is worth. And so this morning, I want us to take just a moment to reflect upon the greatness of our Savior, who though He was all-powerful, and although He was all-God, He chose to humble Himself for our sake. He chose to leave heaven. He chose to throw off His heavenly deity. And He chose to come to this sin-sick world to be born of a virgin in a stable in Bethlehem, to live 33 and a half sinful years, or sinless years, excuse me. Man, that would have been a whole different thing, wouldn't it? But 33 and a half sinless years to go to a cross, to suffer, to bleed, to die for you and for me. And I hope this morning that what we'll see this morning will help us understand why Jesus is truly worth celebrating. You're there, Philippians chapter 2. Notice if you would, beginning at verse number 5 down through verse number 11. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 5 down through verse number 11. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." For a few moments this morning, this is the thought I want us to look at and focus in on. Just a simple thought: 'tis the season. 'Tis the season. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for this morning. And Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Lord, we do come before you this morning realizing and acknowledging, Lord, you are worthy of our praise and our honor and our glory. And Lord, now this morning, I just pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. May the message this morning be a help, a challenge, and an encouragement to these your people. And Lord, this morning, may everything that has been said and done be done to your honor, your glory. Lord, I pray you'd help us to quiet hearts. Help us, Lord, to focus now on you. And Lord, above all, if there be one here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, we pray they not leave this church without getting it settled 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven's their home. Lord, help us to never lose sight of the fact that, yes, we do celebrate you, and this time of year is about you. And Lord, help us never lose sight of the why we celebrate, honor, praise, and give you glory. And now, Lord, for all that you'll do, we'll love you and thank you for it. Come down and meet with us in a mighty and real way, as only you can, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The very first reason we find, I believe, that he's worth celebrating is that he was God, but became man. He was God, but became man. And you don't have to turn to these verses. Just listen. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 14. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And so this morning we think about Jesus, the very Son of God, God come in the flesh, but Jesus, the eternal Word, the Bible tells us that he was with God from the beginning. He coexisted as part of the divine Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we think about Jesus this morning, and Jesus really is God in every sense. He's infinite, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent. He's everything God the Father is. He's everything God the Holy Spirit is. But in his great love and mercy, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself. We find that he took upon himself human flesh. And we think about that this morning, and to us, it's a mystery. To us, it's a miracle that in our minds, we can really hardly begin to understand, that we can hardly begin to comprehend. And because here's the God who created the universe. Here's the God who spoke And whatever he spoke, it was done. And this God became a baby born of a virgin in a humble manger. This is who our Jesus is. And so we ask the question, why is he worth celebrating? And the answer is very simple. Because he became man so that he could identify with us. So your struggles, your pain, your suffering, my struggles, my pain, everything you've been through, everything I've been through, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, understands exactly what it is that we go through. The Bible says that he was in all points tempted like man. I'm paraphrasing that, but at all points he was man, even though he was fully God. He lived a life like we do, so that he might fully understand our needs and our hearts. You know, we think about Jesus this morning, and even God the Father, and even God the Holy Spirit, and sometimes we can fall into the trap of thinking, well, they're distant from us. They're far away from us. We can't really reach out and touch them or see them. And while that's true physically speaking, I want you to know this morning, we have a God that he is not distant. He is not far away. But he is a God who knows the depths of human experience, and he is there when we need him most. You wake up at 2 in the morning with a burden on your heart, you can go to him in prayer knowing that he is there and that he is hearing and that he is ready ever to answer. Why is he worth celebrating? Because he was God but became man. Secondly, we see he was rich but became poor. He was rich but became poor. 2 Corinthians 8:9, the Bible says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." You think about it this morning. Jesus, as God, possesses all things. He owns all things. We sing the old Sunday school chorus that we learned growing up, that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns those, and he owns so much more. You think about everything in heaven. You think about everything in earth. It belongs to him. Everything, past, present, future, it belongs to him. However, this Son of God chose to leave the glory and riches of his heavenly kingdom. He came to earth in the most humble of circumstances. You realize he didn't come in power and honor and glory as he's going to come someday again. No, he came born of a virgin. He came born in a manger. He was born in a stable to a poor couple. And throughout his life, he had no permanent home. And you think about that. The one who came from heaven, who that was his permanent home, he came to dwell here. He had no permanent home. But the one who had no permanent home here, he came for the sole purpose of making sure that you and I one day, that we would have a permanent home in heaven with him for all of eternity. He had no wealth. He had no material comfort. You say, why on earth is this worth celebrating? Well, because Jesus became, or he chose rather, to become poor so that we might become rich. And listen, I'm not talking about materialistically rich this morning. Anyone here have $1 million in the bank? I'm sorry, $1 billion. Anybody have $1 billion in the bank? Okay, Joe has $1 billion in the bank. All right, when you come in next year, the whole church is going to be remodeled because he has $1 billion. Could you imagine if someone had $1 billion, what we could do around here? But, okay, anybody have, I don't know, $50,000 in the bank? Oh, a couple people, okay. I don't know if that's serious or not, but okay. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, that's not rich, is it? No, I mean, it's enough to live comfortably. But, you know, we don't have millions or billions of dollars or whatever the case may be. But Jesus wasn't talking about materialistically rich. He was talking about being spiritually rich. And when you and I put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we become just that. We become spiritually rich. Everything that is his now becomes ours. We're now heirs to a throne. We're now heirs of God. We're now adopted into the very family of God. We think about the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He gave up his riches to offer us the wealth of eternal life. He traded the splendor of heaven for the suffering of earth, all for our salvation. It was through his poverty that we are made rich in grace and in forgiveness and in eternal life. You know, you stop to think about it this morning, and we often say, and we just celebrated Thanksgiving, that we are a blessed people, aren't we? And listen, we might not have all the trappings of the world, but we have Jesus, we have God, we have a church family, we have family, we have friends, we have roof over our head, food in our bellies, food in our fridge. I'd say that's worth celebrating. I'd say he's worth celebrating because of that. He was rich but became poor. Then thirdly this morning, we see he was the Lord but came to serve. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28, the Bible says, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that they are, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And then here in our text, Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." You see, we have to realize this morning, Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And yet the Bible tells us he did not come to earth to demand service. He did not come to earth to demand adoration. No, the Bible here tells us he came to serve. We have accounts in the Bible where Jesus, he washed the disciples' feet. He healed the sick. Where ultimately he gave his life for us. You notice there in Philippians chapter number 2, in verse number 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus, who was and is the greatest of all, humbled himself to the lowest position possible of service. And he did it for you and for me. He came to serve. You say again, well, why is this worth celebrating? Simple, because the creator of the universe chose to serve his creation. His humility, his servant heart would teach us the value of selflessness. It would teach us the value of love. It would teach us the value of sacrifice. And listen this morning, Jesus does not call us to a life of self-exaltation where we're constantly putting ourselves up on a pedestal, where we're constantly lifting ourselves up over other people. But he calls us to a life of service to others. You see, as Christians, that's what we're to be. We're to be servants of others. How can I help you? How can I assist you? How can I be a blessing to you? That was what Christ did. That's what we should seek to do. Fourthly, this morning we see he was sinless, but suffered for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." 1 Peter 2:22, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Hebrews 2:9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." You see, this morning Jesus was a sinless, perfect Lamb of God. He had no sin in him. He had no blemish. He had no stain. And yet he took upon himself the weight of the world's sin. There on that cross, he bore our guilt. He bore our shame. He was made to be sin for us, although he himself never sinned. You see, this morning, Jesus suffered for something he did not deserve. He suffered for our sins, bearing the punishment that we rightfully deserved. His sinless nature made him the only suitable sacrifice for the sins of humanity. It's his suffering that brings salvation. It's his death that brings us life. And at the end of the day, what greater reason to celebrate than his sacrifice and his grace? Listen, this morning, if it was not for his sacrifice on the cross, this Christmas, we'd truly have nothing to celebrate. Sure, we'd wake up maybe and there'd be gifts under the Christmas tree. There'd be family, there'd be friends, there'd be maybe a feast and food and all the rest. But if there was no Christ, there'd be nothing worth celebrating this Christmas season. Number five, this morning we see that he was immortal, but died for us. John 11:25, the Bible says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Acts 2:24, "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." You see, this morning, Jesus is God, is immortal. He has no beginning and no end. He is Alpha and Omega. He cannot die by his own nature, yet he chose to lay down his life. On the cross, the Bible tells us he endured the full extent of death and separation from the Father. And though he himself was the giver of life, he chose death in order that he might defeat death. You think this morning about the death of Jesus. The death of Jesus is the greatest act of love and sacrifice in history. He who could not die chose to die for our redemption. You see, his death was not the end, but the beginning of a new hope, a new life, a new promise for those who believe. And then number six, and finally of all this morning, why we celebrate him, because he was dead, but lives to offer new life. He was dead, but lives to offer new life. Acts 13:30, the Bible says, "But God raised him from the dead." 1 Corinthians 15:17, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." John 17:7, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true Son. I'm sorry, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You know, usually when somebody dies, that's it. That's the end of the story. You have the funeral, and that's it. It's over. But Jesus' death was not the end of his story. He rose from the dead on that third day, triumphant over sin and death and the world and the devil. And his resurrection is the guarantee of our own resurrection and the foundation of our Christian hope. He lives today, offering new life to all who believe in him. And it's because this morning of Jesus' victory over death, that means that we too can have victory over death. His resurrection assures us that we have eternal life in him. And he lives to offer us a new life. It's one of freedom. It's one of forgiveness. It's one of eternal joy. Because when we realize that it's all about Jesus, then all of a sudden we find out that, okay, now our hope is not in this world, but it's in the risen Savior. It's in the risen Lord. It's in the risen Christ. Why is he worth celebrating? Jesus Christ is indeed worth celebrating because of who he is and what he has done for us. You see, this morning he became man to save mankind. He gave up his riches to make us spiritually wealthy. He served rather than demanded service. He suffered for our sins, though he was sinless. He died so that we could live, and he lives today to offer us new life. And so this month, as we celebrate his birth, as we celebrate him being born, let us also not to forget to celebrate his life, his death, his resurrection, and his soon coming again. Because they are the reason we have hope. And because of that, this morning, we can lift our hearts in gratitude. We can lift our hearts in joy. For he is truly worth all of our praise. So yes, this month, enjoy the get-togethers. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy your family. Enjoy the lights and the trappings and the food and the Christmas trees and everything else that comes along with the holiday season, the Christmas season. But don't forget, we have a reason worth celebrating. It's more than just the gifts you exchange. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's worth celebrating this morning because of what he has done for us. My question for you this morning is, do you know him? Do you know the reason we celebrate? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know that heaven is your home? If you don't know, this Christmas can have a whole new meaning by you putting your faith and your trust in the one who died for you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. This morning, let's stand together to our feet.